News and interviews from your community. Every morning on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
We appreciate everybody joining us this morning. We're doing follow-up interviews related to the violence and some of the different remarks afterward, and then the certification of electors that took place in the U.S. Capitol. I'm glad to say we have on the news line this morning David Jolly, former U.S. Congressman from Florida, a Republican, or maybe I should say a former Republican, an attorney, former lobbyist, and now a resident of the Central Susquehanna Valley. So, Congressman Jolly, thank you so much for calling in this morning.
Hey, good morning. Good to be with you.
I really do appreciate that. Your reaction, what were you thinking as you started to follow the news media reports of these activities yesterday afternoon?
Well, I think as the eyes of the world trained on the Capitol, we were met with kind of two feelings. One is the significance of peaceful political demonstrations and protests and the history of them in the United States, the right of everybody to be in Washington yesterday to make their grievances heard. But this was not a peaceful protest in the end. It was a violent one where security was breached at the Capitol. One woman lost her life due to gunshot, I believe three others because of medical conditions, over 50 people arrested. This was not what the U.S. has ordained as peaceful protests as part of our democracy. It was wrong, and it certainly created moments of tension within the Capitol, moments of legitimate fear and danger in the Capitol, and political leaders were right to denounce it. And I believe Donald Trump, there will be an open question for a long time, whether he stoked it or whether he did enough to try to prevent it.
Well, he says, I never told anybody to riot. I never told anybody to run up the steps of the Capitol, break through the doors, and go into the Senate chambers or the House chambers. He's very clear about that.
No. We've got to go back to the record. He addressed the crowd yesterday, and his exact remarks were, we are going to march to the Capitol, and I am going to be with you. It was one of the great lies that Donald Trump likes to say. I'm going to be with you. You go do this, I'm going to be with you. And then he said, and we have to do it with strength, not weakness. They don't listen to weakness. That's almost verbatim the transcript of what he said moments before they marched. He knew what he was doing. Now, was he with them breaking the windows? Of course not. Will it be argued that he ordained it? I think many people will. And regardless of where people come down on this, I will say that the long lens of history, as Donald Trump's administration is recalled, yesterday may be the first thing that is recalled, because as you look at all presidents throughout history, there is nothing that compares to what occurred yesterday under the sanction of an outgoing president.
Yeah, all that is remembers most is what is remembered last. There's no argument about that. This puts our nation in just the most unusual situation, and maybe a pivot point for good. Your reflection on this idea that I think, as many people might say, this is rock bottom.
Yeah, I think it certainly could be. And look, I want to respect those who support Donald Trump and Trumpism in the last 4 years. I do not. It's why I broke from the party. But I think it's important that we realize yesterday was not a reflection of all Trump supporters. I believe it was a reflection of Trump, the person, as we just discussed, that he encouraged this, that he invited it. But it is not a reflection of all Trump supporters. We had, nearly 80 million people or more turn out and vote for him. Yesterday we saw a couple thousand people, many of whom were engaging in peaceful demonstration, but then there were those who breached security and did break the law. So how can this be a force for good? I think as Donald Trump leaves office, there is an outstanding question. How does Donald Trump handle the next 3 or 4 years? Does he remain this large political figure that dominates the Republican Party and Republican voters? Or do those Trump voters who were not represented by yesterday's actions coalesce around a new leader or a new movement that allows them to continue to advance the populism that drew them to Donald Trump? Donald Trump's message was a powerful one and a right one about people who have been left behind and about the swamp that needs draining. All that's true. But it has ended in a result that we simply cannot normalize in the United States.
And is this the time that you'll see Senator Hawley or Senator Cruz step forward, rise up, and emerge with the Trump crowd behind them?
They may. You know, I think there's an open question about Hawley and Cruz's leadership yesterday in the moment. They will always have to answer for yesterday as well. In fact, Hawley's hometown newspaper, the St. Louis Dispatch, their editorial actually said Senator Hawley has blood on his hands. Are they the leaders of Trumpism that can bridge the divide and heal the country? I'm not sure after yesterday, but often what happens in these moments is we look to governors who perhaps have been out of the boiling pot in Washington, D.C. that emerge. When the Democratic Party was so fractured after 12 years of Reaganism and Bush 41, it was Bill Clinton from Arkansas, who hardly anybody knew, who emerged as the new Democratic leader. It's a little easier to look to a chief executive without the stain of Washington already on them. And that may be where Republicans and Trumpism find themselves within a year or two.
Well, there's a phrase so often spoken for to whomever is on this news line, and sometimes by whomever's on this news line, what about? So, what about the Democrats? They've been fomenting this bitter division all along as well. What about the fact that they've been participating in this divide?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think we have to acknowledge it's hard to look to incidents of violence that have been fomented. And again, not all Republicans ordained that yesterday. Certainly many denounced it. But the division between the parties and promoted by the parties is absolutely real. In part, it is a system that the two major parties have created, where we gerrymander districts to protect partisan behavior. We close off primaries. Big money funnels to the big parties. Those are structural changes we have to make. But there are also leadership decisions that Democrats have made in the past that have said, we are going to go far left, and if you're not with us, then you can go to hell. There are those who have tried to bridge the divide, but there are very few, right? A Joe Manchin from West Virginia. Joe Biden is notionally suggesting it. What I've said to my Democratic friends, you have to decide now, are you going to go bold with the progressive agenda, or are you going to try to bridge over to Republicans? And I don't know the answer. That's a Democratic debate to have. What I will say about the lessons of history is the last time Democrats controlled everything, the White House, the Senate, and the House, it was only a brief four-year period, and it ended with Nancy Pelosi losing 63 seats in the House, the Senate under Harry Reid losing 6 seats in the Senate, Democrats losing 6 governor's mansions, and Republicans coming in with control for the next 10 years. That was based on the last time Democrats did what they are arguing and trying to do today. It is up to my Democratic friends how to resolve that. I'm not condemning them to a short term of leadership now, but I'm saying there are lessons of history that are just within reach that they might want to look at.
Well, it's never truer anywhere than it is in Washington. You better watch what you want, because if you get it, you know, you might
you
not.
You got you. That's right. That's right. Be careful what you wish for.
There you go. That's it. All right. Thank you. Much more succinctly said. Where do you see the Republican Party congealing in the years ahead? You kind of laid out what some of the elements might look like. Describe the GOP a year from now, 2 years from now.
You know, it's an open question, but for those who think it's going back to anything it used to be, that's simply not the case, because we can look at this trend line not over 4 years of Trump, but beginning with the emergence of the Tea Party. The Republican Party today is strongly led by people who don't want to waste time with incrementalism. They don't want to waste time with kind of the corporate political culture that has been represented by Republicans. They want swift changes, and that's exactly why Trump was able to come into the party. If you look at just the House caucus of about 200 people, you had 120 of them or so protest the electoral results with their vote, and you could put them in that new Republican crowd. It's not going back. The question is, for those who don't have a home now in the Republican Party, I'm one of them, do we ally with Democrats, which does not look likely? It's not going to likely be a choice I make. Or do we find a home in a new party that emerges? History suggests that possibility is very limited of having a new party emerge. Republicans, the biggest challenge for them is just in the numbers. You know, we know they've lost, I believe, 8 of the last 9 popular votes for the election. The demographics of the country are getting away from the direction of the Republican Party, and Republicans seem to be doubling down on where they are as opposed to trying to address that demographic change. that's a decision Republicans are going to have to make if they want to maintain their status as a competitive major party.
All right, we'll have to come up with a creative name for the new party. And when you think of one, hey,
well,
hey.
Let me tell you, I'm involved with a group called SAM. It's the Serve America Movement. It's a party in New York and Connecticut, and we're looking at Texas. But here's what we're doing that's very different, that at least maybe people want to think about whether you're interested in SAM or not. Our platform is not ideologically based. We don't ask people to define themselves on the right-left spectrum. Instead, around shared values of problem-solving, transparency, accountability. We're the real big tent party. Bring whatever ideology you want, but if we share the value of problem-solving and a commitment to fixing what's wrong, that's what this coalition's about. We're a bunch of Republicans, Democrats, Independents looking for a little something different.
One more question, maybe just a tiny bit more personal. As you live in our community, as you go out, you're going to run into friends and maybe even family members who say, we should have stopped the steal while we had a chance. More of us should have stormed the Capitol. We should have turned this around. This election was stolen, the fraud, anomalies, everything. President Trump should be our rightfully elected president. What are you going to say to these individuals? You're going to see them at the store and at gatherings.
I would say that the same set of laws and constitution, the same electoral college that affirmed Donald Trump's election in the United States is the same one that affirmed his defeat and that affirmed Joe Biden's victory. The Trump camp has had over 60 court cases, most of them, the majority of them heard by conservative and Republican-appointed judges, even many by Donald Trump themselves. His claims have not moved an inch. In fact, they've been swiftly rejected on the merits and on the grounds. The only person in this situation who is suggesting that somehow fraud occurred is Donald Trump himself. None of the fair arbiters that affirmed his victory in 2016 are willing to say that Donald Trump's claims in 2020 are accurate. Many Republican senators yesterday said, I share your frustration, your outrage, and your anger that he lost. And that's fair. You can be angry. Politics make us angry when we're on the losing side of it. I get it. But the system did not fail us in this moment. And if we allow that narrative to develop, that our system can't protect us, we're in more danger than just the snapshot of what we're living through in 2020.
Former Congressman Jolly, thank you so much. Appreciate you checking in this morning. We will stay in touch. You stay in touch as well. Very glad to hear from you.
Yeah. Good to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman David Jolly. Republican from the 13th District of Florida, just a few short years ago, is an attorney and a former lobbyist, now a member of the Service America Movement, former Republican, and a resident of the central Susquehanna Valley. So we appreciate him calling short distance to WDKOK this morning.